Hey everybody, this is Will McKinley. We're at Pete's Tavern on 18th Street and Irving Place in New York City. It's April 14th, 2019, the seventh anniversary of Jonathan's passing. And we are, gathering together some of the folks who worked for Jonathan in his production company, Clunes Associates, for a little bit of a reunion at a restaurant that Jonathan took us to many times to thank us slash bribe us for working for him back in the 1980s. Jonathan's apartment was right down the block from Pete's Tavern, and we are now walking from Pete's to Jonathan's. Here with Nancy Kersey. Say hello to the folks at home, Nancy.
Hello to the folks at home.
And Kay Fry. Say hello.
Hello, Kay. Folks at home.
Both Nancy and Kay worked with Jonathan back in the day. And we're also here with Mary O'Leary, who is Jonathan's business partner in Clunes Associates. And Helen Samaras, who was the travel agent for Clunes Associates. Clunes was the name of Jonathan's company. Do you, Nancy, do you remember what the where that name came from?
Yes, it came. Jonathan's mother's family came from Clunes, Scotland.
And so when they were looking to, you know, name, when Jonathan was looking for a name for his company, he picked something that had familial significance. We are now approaching Jonathan's apartment, and I have to tell you we're doing a little recording. We just walked up to Jonathan's apartment. The first time that I ever came here, he was standing right here in his blue bathrobe with a coffee cup, and he was like, because I was probably 14, I think, maybe, and I was like, why are you standing outside? And he was like, I was worried about you. And he said, I recognized your gait from down the block. And it was the first time I'd ever heard the word gait. Anyway, so we already said hello to Nancy and Kay. Mary O'Leary's here, Jonathan's partner, business partner in Clunes Associates. Say hello to the folks at home.
Hello, folks at home. Hi, Will.
And Helen Samaras, who was Jonathan's travel agent, right?
Yes. Hi, everyone.
So, this is like maybe the first time that all of us have been in the same place in what? 30, how many years? Okay, so this is significant, and we're standing, like, the amount of creative energy, right, that took place right in this building, 157 East 18th Street, significant location for all of us. So I want to ask everybody, though, like, because we're all fans. We were fans first before we got an opportunity to work with Jonathan. Do you remember the first time you saw Dark Shadows? Mary, we'll start with Mary.
The first time I saw Dark Shadows, probably, well, it was the Adam storyline, or Frankenstein-like storyline. A friend of mine who was a couple of years older said, you really need to watch the show Dark Shadows. It's really, really cool. And she was trying to explain the story to me. So I'm not sure right now, would that have been late 68 or early 69?
Yeah, 68. Okay. Yeah. Or no, actually, was that even maybe, I should know this, the fans will know it, but like maybe 60, late 67, early 68. Mm-hmm. But it was original show.
Correct.
And Helen, how about you?
Well, I heard about the show every single day. The girl that sat in front of me in homeroom, she watched the show, and I don't know what made her decide to tell me every day what happened on the episode, and I didn't want to hear anything about it, but I still was very polite because that's the way I am. And so I heard about it for a number of months, and then one day I was at home and I just was channel surfing, and I majored in early American history, and I see this little girl in a colonial costume, you know, haunting around this place, and it turned out to be little Sarah, Barnabas's sister, and that was my first episode. And so I saw Jonathan on that first day, and I saw yeah, my favorite time period.
So you actually came in probably a little bit earlier than like some of the people who who picked up the show when it was super hot, like in 69 or all right. So Nancy, do you remember when you first watched it?
I do. I watched it. It was a few days before Barnabas was released from the coffin, because the show preceded Wee Willie Webber's cartoon show. So I turned it on because it was going to lead into that. And then the one day I saw that Willie was going into the coffin room, and I was hooked.
So you were ahead of the curve on Dark Shadows.
I was ahead of the curve. And I remember going upstairs. My mother always took a nap in the afternoon. I remember going upstairs and says, "Mom, there's a vampire on television. It's not Bela Lugosi." And she was fascinated by that, of course. And that was it. I was hooked.
Cool. And Kay, how about you?
I actually got interested in it because of an article in TV Guide. They had this picture of this very handsome but odd-looking man in half shadow on his face, and they referred to him as the organ-voiced Mr. Frid. And I was like, I got to check this guy out someday. And one day I was home from school, and I was channel surfing, and I happened upon him. He was standing there. He had a close-up. I was like, that's the guy from the TV Guide article. And he started to talk, and that was it. I mean, I got hooked on his voice before anything else.
That's interesting, because I think all of us probably, you know, had the same feeling about his voice. I remember sitting here, you know, in the apartment with him, you know, doing one of the stories and like literally getting chills, you know, as he was performing. So, answer to me, I did not see the show originally. I did see it in, I wasn't born, but it was April 12th, 1982. It premiered in syndication on WNBC here in New York, Channel 4. It was every day at like, I think 4:30. And I had seen the movie first. I had seen House of Dark Shadows first because my father said, oh, you should watch this. You like horror movies. You probably like the show. It was really hot in the 60s. So I had seen the movie first, which probably is why I liked the movie best. And then I discovered the show in reruns and got involved with the fan community. And so, which leads me to the next question. So all of us started out as fans. How did we jump ahead to having a professional relationship with Jonathan? What was that process? We'll start with Mary.
On April 2nd, 1985, I received a phone call from Jonathan in response to a letter I had written him. I had actually not seen when it was broadcast in New York. I was living in New York, but I was going out of town for work quite a bit in 82, 83. June of 84, I began working on the television daytime soap opera Guiding Light. And what I noticed was New Jersey Network began to rerun episodes of Dark Shadows. And one night they announced there'll be a telethon, Mr. Frid will be in our studios. So I was very curious, and I tuned in, and he first did a reading of The Telltale Heart, and then he did an excerpt from Richard III, and then finally, at the end, they interviewed him, and one of the questions, Mr. Frid, what are you doing now? And he said, I'm working on a one-man show, and I don't know where I'm going to perform it, New York, or traveling on the road, but that's what my focus is right now. So my letter was off that, saying, I'd be very interested in working with you if you need any assistance, because I didn't know if he might have already had the show pretty much ready to go or not. So when he called me, he said, I was most impressed with your letter. I would like to meet with you. There's also a young man named Willie McKinley who is also interested in working with us. So would you come to my apartment? And on April 2nd, 1985, I met you, Will, and Jonathan for the first time.
So that was 34 years ago, right?
Right.
Holy mackerel. Right here at this very place. And yeah, I had been involved, being involved with the fan community. There was a fan community called the Alternate Shadows. They did a fanzine called the Parallel Times, and they had a convention called Manhattan Shadows, and they enlisted Jonathan very early in the process in 1983 to be part of the planning for this convention. So I actually met him in around this time, spring 83, at a restaurant in Queens. And in typical Jonathan style, he walked in and immediately looked at me and said, you're an excellent writer. So he had a great sense of how to sweet talk you or charm you, right? You know, hit that spot in you. And then I did some work for Jonathan. I wrote, you know, a bunch of promos that aired on New Jersey Network. And then I, too, wrote him a letter around the very same time that you wrote him a letter saying, oh, I really enjoyed working with you. Let's do some more at 14 or 15. I wrote this. So now, Helen, do you remember how you got to be involved professionally with Jonathan?
It's on account of Mary O'Leary. A friend of mine, his name was Joe Caruba, used to do videotaping for Jonathan when he was doing his one-man show. He would come to his apartment and videotape it because Jonathan used to love to watch back his performance to see where he could make little changes in there. And this friend of mine was invited to come, and he didn't want to go that night alone. He was afraid he was going to fall asleep on the ride home because he used to work the night shift. And his partner didn't want to go with him that night because whatever the reason was. And I said, look, I don't want you to travel. You're by yourself. I said, if you need someone to go with you, I'll be more than happy to go. And I said, gosh, you know, I said, I don't really want to go. I said, yeah, well, you know, I said, I've met this man before. I don't know what to say. You know, I'm very quiet. And he says, don't worry, it'll be fine. So we walked into the apartment. Mary was there. I was meeting her for the first time. And the first question was, and what do you do for a living? And I said, I own a travel agency. And she says, do you have a business card? And would you be interested in doing the travel arrangements for Clunes Associates? And the rest is history.
Interesting. And so those rehearsals, like I would often sort of like, you know, since I had a relationship with the fan community, I would invite people
And
I invited you, and you know, and then afterwards we would all sort of sit around, and it was kind of like a rap session where we would all share feedback about the show, right?
Right. Jonathan wanted to hear what people were thinking of the particular pieces he had chosen, so I too was inviting coworkers at Guiding Light, actors from the show, as well as personal friends, my college friends who were in New York City, because I'm originally from Rhode Island, and a percentage of us came to New York to get into theater. So I really am so grateful to all those people who came to the rehearsals because it was a great benefit to Jonathan.
And, you know, unlike the stereotype of the actor who doesn't really, like, listen or pay attention to his fans, Jonathan did genuinely, you know, he may have had a complex relationship with Dark Shadows and with the role of Barnabas over the years, an evolving relationship, right, in terms of his embrace of it. He always knew that the best judges of the marketability and, you know, whatever of this show were the fans. So Nancy, how did you get involved with Jonathan?
Well, I wrote a review on his one-man show at a Dark Shadows festival. It was in November of 1985, and it was a work in progress. And I had my editor, I think, had sent the review to him, or I think I did, through Ann Wilson, whom I had met. Because I had offered to bring lights to the festival if they wanted stage lights, because I had access to those. Anyway, I wrote the review. It was sent to Jonathan, and someone read it at one of the rehearsals, and he wanted to meet me. And Mary contacted me, and then after, you know, we met, I came up here, and we were talking about maybe doing another interview. And one thing led to another, and Mary... Jonathan invited me to come work for them.
And to do some writing, and you wrote writing segments for the shows, right?
Right, was a dual relationship. Mary, I helped Mary with promoting the college. We were trying to get, first of all, to book the show into colleges, and we were devising letters to write for that and everything. And Mary was, you know, guiding me. I worked for her, and then I worked for him, helped writing the narrative to many of the stories.
Right, because between the different stories, he wanted, how do I make a transition?
Like bridging stuff.
Yeah, so Nancy was working on writing transitions for the different pieces.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Kay, so Kay, you and I probably predate everybody here, right? Because we were involved, when Jonathan first got involved, sort of reintegrated into the fan community, it was because of this convention that was being prepared.
Right, the alternate shadows and Manhattan shadows.
Right, the Manhattan shadows. And so, and what was then, how did you sort of jump the chasm to having a sort of work relationship with him?
The chasm, okay. I had taken photographs of him. I had gone to a California convention called ShadowCon, one of the first ones he had attended. And I ran around taking pictures of him. and of the other people who were there, the other stars. And I gave them to the founders of Alternate Shadows, Josette and Patrick Garrison, who liked them. And then they asked me, Jonathan wants to do this collage of drawings that he got from students and from fans over the years. And he wants to know if anybody out there knows how to cut a decent mat. And I was like, I know how to cut mats. And I'm like, okay, good. Meet us at Jonathan's apartment on such and such a date at such and such a time. And I was like, Jonathan's apartment. Okay, and where's that? So they gave me the address. I showed up, went in with them, sat down on the couch, and sat there as quiet as a mouse for like hours. And finally, Jonathan was going around the room and he saw me and he went, why are you here? And I was like,
In typical Jonathan Frid style.
And I was like, Patrick and Josette said you had some artwork you need matted. It's like, oh, you're the matting person. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Stay there. Don't move. And he ran away and came back with this huge portfolio. Hundreds of pictures. I was thinking a couple of dozen, maybe. I should have known better. I mean, these were pictures he got for years. Every year he was on the show, he must have gotten hundreds of these things. And I was like, oh my God. And he laid them out on the floor exactly the way he'd like to have them presented. And he was like, now what I'd like is one long continuous wall of all these photos matted. And I was like, uh-huh, okay, okay, I can do this.
And that premiered, that collage or whatever, premiered at the Manhattan Shadows Convention, which was in September 1983, which we were at, you guys were not at, right? No. And then you continued to work on various other things over the years.
Whenever he needed something semi-artistic done or something built, I was the person who, as Nancy would say, he used to say, I could wield a hammer. So whenever he needed something built, like we had to redo the collage into a kiosk because it wouldn't hang on the walls successfully using fun tack or whatever the heck it was that we had to use back then to put it on a wall without damaging it. And, you know, after like 4 hours, it would start to give out and fall down. Mm-hmm. So I had to rebuild the whole thing as a kiosk. And that was fun. And then a few years later, he came up with the idea that he wanted to display all of his awards he had gotten from various daytime soap opera magazines, things like that, best actor in a soap opera, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to figure out, now, who can I get to build a cabinet for the, okay. And I got this phone call around 10 o'clock at night. Okay. I need this thing built. It needs to be about 6 feet by this feet. And I was like, Jonathan, what the hell are you talking about? And he told me, and I was like, all right, fine. Give me the dimensions. I'll be happy to do it for you. And I ended up doing that.
And, you know, so that's, you know, my grandmother used to refer to, you know, like Tom Sawyer fence painting parties where, you know, like where people would be, you know, sort of, you know, kind of roped into working for free and everyone was having a great time and Jonathan was the king of that. But so, you know, I mean, there's, we could talk for 5 hours about this, but I guess the thing I think people might be most interested in is, what is the thing about Jonathan that you think would surprise people the most? And so now everyone gets to think about this. I'll tell you, and mine is not deep or, like, he was a big football fan, and he could never figure out how to program his VCR, and I guess he thought because I was young that I was somehow more technically minded than he was, and I would always have to set up his VCR to record the football games because for whatever reason he would never be home, and so people may not think that Barnabas Collins was a big American football fan, but he was a big football fan, so that's mine.
Jonathan was not into pop culture. He was enamored of Betty Davis and actresses from movies that he saw as a kid growing up, and he wasn't as attuned to what the current star was. And of course, back in 2007, when I was chatting with him on the phone, he said, they're talking about doing this new Dark Shadows movie. And I suppose I should know the actor who's going to play the lead, but I don't. His name is Johnny Depp. Again, because he was always looking back at the classic movies, not whatever was current at the time.
And but this was years later, right?
But even at the time, I mean, he wasn't generally going to the movies or watching current TV.
Right.
He would go back to classics, although we love theater. I mean, we actually went to some one-man
Yeah, for my together. Birthday a couple times. Yeah. All right, so Helen, the most surprising thing about Jonathan?
You're going to have to pass me for now. I can't think of something.
All right, Nancy, most surprising thing?
His sense of humor. We love playing practical jokes, and we played a couple together on other people, sometimes his family, sometimes Mel, who lived here in the apartment. There was a bureau that Jonathan had moved out of his apartment because he was having something done on the floor or whatever, and Mel's right across the street, right across the road, rather, I mean road, the hall, thank you, the hall. And anyway, we put the huge armoire or whatever in front of the door, so when Mel opened it, he couldn't see it was right there. I mean, just do crazy things like that. He had a very good sense of humor.
And there were pictures of him putting giant Christmas wreaths on his head, right?
The giant Christmas wreath on his head, yes.
Coming down the slide.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, going down the big
slide. Oh, at your pool, right?
Sliding, yes.
Didn't we go swimming at your house once?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a very nice, compassionate thing that he did. My sister was very ill. And it was Jonathan's idea to come out to the house and cheer up the family because we were all devastated because my sister was terminal. And he came, well, I can't tell that other story, but he came to the house for a pool party and a barbecue, and everybody got in the pool, and he was the first one
in.
He was showing Mary how to get on a raft. I was being polite. Do you want me to tell the story?
Sure.
Well, Mary was talking to me, and she was trying to get on a raft, and I made the mistake of overinflating the raft, so it was next to impossible for Mary to get on it. So if Mary tried getting on the raft from the right, she fell off to the left. She got on from the left, she fell off to the right. And Jonathan came along, and he just had no patience for her on that, and he says, no, you don't know how to do this. You have to slide up the raft. So he decided to slide up the raft, and he says, I'll show you how you do it. So he puts the raft in front of him, and he starts to slide up the raft, and as he slid up the raft, his bathing suit slid down the raft, so he mooned all of us.
You see, that makes you immediately like among the rarefied few Dark Shadows fans who have seen a side of Jonathan Frid that most others have not seen.
Yes.
Okay, so Eddie, so surprising?
Surprising about Jonathan. I've got to go with Nancy, his sense of humor. He was hysterical sometimes. He could just do things. I mean, you wouldn't. After watching him on TV, you thought, Barnabas, he had no sense of
humor. The water gun fight.
He was just totally blah. But
the water gun
when
fight.
It came to the water guns, we went up to his house in Canada, and I was picking weeds for him because he always got me to do yard work because I like to do it. And I'm out there picking weeds, and all of a sudden he comes out, and Nancy shouts at me, Fred's got a water gun! He had a water cannon. And suddenly I'm getting drenched. He's like, you're not picking them fast enough. Chomp, chomp, chomp. I was like, Fred, I'm gonna get you.
Yeah, well, I got the hose. So
and
we got
he got the hose and chased him back in the house. It was so funny.
So all of us, you know, had a relationship with Jonathan for, you know, differing periods of time. I'm curious as to what you think was the overall impact of your time with Jonathan on your life.
I had an amazing time working with him. It was very demanding because I was working at the soap opera Guiding Light, and I would leave there at the end of 5 or 6 o'clock day and walk over to this very building that we're standing in front of on 18th Street and begin work on our press kits where we were marketing it. He wanted an update as to what bookings were. So it was a very, very, very busy time, but I look back at he was so positive that I could handle all this and gave me tremendous responsibility, and it definitely was exciting to be able to accomplish getting him touring across the country.
And you were in your 20s when you first met him, right? Late 20s, right?
I was probably... Right, I would be late 20s, 28-ish. And I had not done anything of this nature before, to actually call places and say, would you book this actor? And I'm really blessed that the very first performance was staged in as of October of 1986 at Salve Regina University. And on the campus was the building that was used as Collinwood in the TV series. At that time, in 86, it was a dorm for the university, boys' dorm. But the professor had been my high school drama teacher, and then he had gone to start a theater department at Salve Regina University. And I called him and said, we're trying to get the first professional booking, and he booked it. And that just, once we got that wonderful review, and it just led to more and more and more. Right. So it's really incredible to think that something that I had never done before became such a success. And Jonathan was so confident that that would happen, mm-hmm. Had incredible faith in me. So it was something that I definitely carried with me, still do today. I look back at that time as somehow frenetic as it was, it was an incredible time of my life.
Helen, impact on your life that working with Jonathan, knowing him?
It was his compassion for me. It's not that I didn't expect it of him, but my darkest days in my life, that man was there. He was on the road doing his one-man show when my sister passed away. And when he returned, as soon as he got home, one of the first things he did was he called me, you know, to express his sympathy, you know, and tell me, please, if you need someone to talk to. You know, he reached out like an older brother or an uncle. And, you know, I was just totally devastated. And he says, you know, please, you know, you come into the city, we'll go out to dinner. You know, I want to see your family, because he liked my family a lot. And, you know, and he did, in time, he came out and he did his show for my family, you know, private thing in my house. So, you know, I won't forget, you know, how he treated me, you know, as a loving friend.
That's lovely. And Nancy?
Professionally, it was a great impact. Clunes, you know, Mary as well was a great influence on me when I was working for Clunes. When Jonathan decided to move to Canada and Mary moved on to other things, I honestly didn't think I would hear from Jonathan again, because I just knew how he was, you know. And anyway, he had moved up there. I helped him move up there, and then a few months later he called me and told me to come up, and I was very surprised because I wasn't going to pursue him. That I said, if he wants to be friends, it's his move. And so I helped him. He did some charity shows. He did some for Helen, and I helped him do that. And then I encouraged him to put up a website so he could do Reader's Theater, because he was really needing something to do. And as he said, get a reason to get out of bed. And so he was doing that. He was doing Reader's Theater on the website. He didn't really understand how websites work, so that was somewhat frustrating. But he got a webmaster. And anyway, overall, I miss him a great deal. He wasn't the same person after about 2006. I mean, because he was getting old, he was getting sick. So I missed that person before that. But he was a great impact. He was a good friend. He was a good friend.
And you two guys, Nancy and Helen, edited a book of essays written by Jonathan's colleagues and friends, right?
Yes, yes.
Called, what's it called?
Remembering Jonathan Frid.
And that's available
on Amazon. You can get it on Amazon or lulu.com, whichever.
And Kay, how about you? So the impact of Jonathan.
Impact of Jonathan. He got me more into the theater. I always liked theater, but to actually be watching him build a character, build something out of just stories, he got me interested in the production angle of it. I got more involved in the local theater where we live now in Delaware because of him, really. I like stage managing, and I actually take a shot at acting every now and then, and directing, and all of that's due to him, very much so. And he was a character, and I loved him, and I miss him.
And I mean, for me, impact is like literally my whole adult life, you know. I mean, everything that's good in my life, my career, started by extending myself to him and having the, you know, whatever, the guts as a 14 or 15 year old to say, I want to work with you, you know, give me something to do. And then meeting Mary and, you know, and choosing where to go to college and the industry to get into. And then, you know, I think in a bigger sense, like the fact that all of us, you know, are still friends 35 years later, you know, and we're standing here 35 years later is a long time, you know, and there's still a deep connection that, you know, we all, and it all
that we all just have together. I mean, there's only so many people on earth who have that.
Right.
Yeah. Connection.
And it all, and he was the, at the core of it.
Yeah.
He brought us all together and started it. So
yes.
we'll raise our glasses to
yes,
Jonathan Frid.
Definitely.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Will.